People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
And I'm also kind of at a crossroads because I just ended a 2.5 year relationship with my boyfriend. And so I'm trying to ex-boyfriend, I guess. And I'm just trying to think about like what the financials look like for next steps in my life. Do I want to stay in New York? Do I want to make a move?
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here today with my guest, Lilith.
That's right.
Welcome to the show. Will you fill myself and our listeners in about who you are, where you live, what you make, all of that jazz, and then maybe a little bit about like what you wrote in your submission?
Awesome. So I'm a long time listener. I've listened to every episode.
You have listened to every episode?
I think so. When I found it, I was like, ooh, I need more. So I just kept going back. There may be some that aren't on Spotify, but I've listened to everything on Spotify.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I really been consuming a lot of financial content to try to keep myself on track, although you'll hear it a little bit about going off the rails. But yeah. So I'm Lilith, and I am 33, soon to be 34, and I live in New York City, and I make $89,000 a year. Money history-wise, I didn't have a full-time job until I was like 27 because I got a master's degree, and then my first job with a 401k was 27, and I was making $37,000 a year in New York City.
Oof, so that is rough.
So I got a late start to paying attention to money. And the reason I wrote into the podcast is I've been spending the last year trying to focus on paying off debt. And I've paid off like 13,000 credit card debt in the last year.
But that's amazing.
So that was like, it's weird. It's not easy to be in debt, but like when you're in debt, you're like, okay, well, let me not worry about the other stuff.
Yeah.
One more thing. And you're like in survival mode a little bit. So I'm very close to being able to pay that off. I wanted to chat with you about that. And I'm also kind of at a crossroads because I just ended a 2.5 year relationship with my boyfriend. And so I'm trying to ex-boyfriend, I guess. And I'm just trying to think about like what the financials look like for next steps in my life. Do I want to stay in New York? Do I want to make a move? How do I adjust from having someone who paid for all my fun, essentially? He didn't pay my bills, but I didn't really have to pay for anything else. So all of those types of things.
When you wrote in, we weren't sure if you were going to be with your boyfriend or not be with your boyfriend when we had you on the show.
Yeah, it's really recent. Yeah, that's obviously not a financial decision, but it ended up having financial impact, obviously. Yeah, there's just an incident, and it's kind of like when you date this long, you're either going to get married or you're going to part ways.
How
So
long were you together?
two and a half years, and I thought we were going to end up together, but by the time I emailed you, I was pretty sure that there is not going to be a conflict resolution there. So
Okay.
I was like, well, this is kind of sad. Although then we could have talked about how do I blend my money with someone else's? But unfortunately, we're talking about how do I continue to be a single woman living in the world? But that's probably more interesting to your listeners anyway.
I mean, I think both sides are interesting. I think doing what is best for you, whether there is financial impact or not, is always going to be the best solution. So you're happy with how things worked out?
I mean, I would have wanted to stay with him, but not without
Okay.
the things. So, I mean, it's good. It's good. And I'm lucky that I have a rent stabilized apartment. So
Okay.
I didn't move in with him early or anything. So I'm really lucky that our financials weren't really tied up with each other.
In New York, that's rare because normally people are like,
That's
let's
what
move in
I.
together because we'll save rent money and not have to like commute back and forth to each other's apartments because you live in a different borough or a different part of Manhattan.
Exactly. And it was a hike. That was the thing. And I was like really self-conscious about the fact that we hadn't moved in together, except when I would compare myself to other couples. I'd be like, well, they kind of moved in together to save rent. And I mean, I don't make a lot of money, but he did. And, it was just like, well, I want to be independent. Like, because I was worried, I was like, I might as well hold on to this. Because I mean, if I moved, I
Freedom,
would not be able to live in New York. So.
yeah, and you would have given up your rent stabilized apartment. And then if you do want to break up, it does make it messier, right? It's just like more complicated. Like, who's keeping the apartment? Like, how do you break a lease, right? All of that stuff
Exactly,
gets rolled
exactly.
into
And
it
I didn't want it
too.
to ever be that we were staying together just because we were like,
Have a great apartment.
forced to.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Okay, so. You're 33, living in New York City in a rent stabilized apartment, which is key, and you're making 89,000. And what industry are you in?
Oh, I work in publishing, which is why I make so little, and I would advise people not to go into that unless they are independently wealthy. Really worked hard to get myself up to this level, which is actually livable. But yeah, it's a rough ride when you first start out.
Okay, perfect. And so then are you thinking now, because like in your submission you said maybe if you did break up, you would maybe move out of New York. So do you want to go through what your finances are right now in New York and then walk through what a move would look like or how?
Yeah,
Okay.
we can do that because my job is remote, so I can move
Oh,
and
you can
not.
be anywhere.
So my job is currently remote. I was going to spend this summer before I knew there was going to be a breakup. I was going to write a romance novel and I was going to look for jobs because, oh, I'm also in a grad school program that my
Okay.
company is paying for. And
Oh.
so I just finished the semester. I was like, all right, I'm going to do nothing all summer. I'm going to write a romance novel and I'm going to apply to new jobs because I would like to make a little bit more.
Okay. They are paying for school.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
What's the commitment there for that?
There's no, I mean, I read the fine print like insanely amount of times. They obviously have a line in there where they can like refuse to pay at some point, but I don't think they could like request the fund back because it
Back?
was in the
Okay.
fine print. So I just have to stay, like if I start a semester, I don't get reimbursed until after the grades are posted. So I just
Okay.
got reimbursed for my first semester. So yeah, so basically if I quit mid-semester, I would owe like 4,400 or whatever to the school.
Okay, what's the program and how many semesters?
I'm doing an MBA and it's like re really cheap for 2 3-hour classes. It would be like $5,000. So that's why I picked it because like if somehow I end up having to pay,
Oh yeah, you're not going to be out of pocket too much.
I'm out like 5K or whatever, which I can theoretically afford. I definitely can afford, but yeah, so basically that's why I did it. And then if I would leave, it would be for a really good situation. But that's the thing, it is a state school, so if I do move, my tuition would go
Would
up, but
change.
I'm fairly certain that it wouldn't go up like astronomically. If I
Okay.
like switch to the online program, because I could be out of state online, I think.
Okay.
But then I'm pretty sure my company would still pay for it. But if not, that would be another cost.
Okay, so that's something to think about. And how much longer? So is it 2 years?
It's 3 years. So I definitely would be in New York through December. So I would be like a third of the way through.
Yep, by December. Okay. All right, let's go through your expenses in New York. So we have a rent stabilized apartment. So how much is that?
I pay $1,667 for like studio and a half. It's like a junior one bedroom, I think they would call
A
it.
junior one bedroom. Yeah. Okay. It's like the one with the alcove, right?
Yeah, like my kitchen, I can't see my kitchen. Like, so my living room and
Right.
bedroom are attached, but I have kind of a dining room area and a kitchen that I can't see, and a bathroom and four closets. So it's big.
Oh, that's nice. All right. So we have rent. Okay. What are your other expenses?
So I budget $210 for utilities, even though it's literally never been that high. But I think
Just in
you used to live in New
case.
York, but Con Ed
Yes.
has lost their minds and the
Ugh.
rates are going through the roof. So I don't. It's summer. I refuse to be hot when I'm sleeping. So I just always budget $210 for internet and Con Ed.
Yes, I did used to live in New York. Yeah, the winter is really manageable, right? Do you have radiant heat?
Yeah. Which I mean, I actually don't like because then it's really hot. But yeah, I don't pay that much.
Yeah, so it's the summertime, right, for the air conditioning.
Yeah, like my last month it was only $103, but June I've been hitting it hard. Also, I used to spend 4 days a week at my boyfriend's and now I'm not. So I
Yeah, so
imagine
have.
that will go up as well.
Okay, so we have utilities, which includes internet, and then what other expenses do you have?
So for my phone, I pay $66 a month for like storage and just the line. And then I have renter's insurance, which is
Okay.
$14. This past month has been crazy, but I budget like 350 for groceries, 350 to 400, and that's usually
Okay.
good. This last month, I didn't even look at what I spent, but I have like $50 in subscriptions. I think I just canceled some, but roughly $50 in subscriptions.
Okay.
That doesn't include annual ones, which I think takes it to like 80 if you like divided it out, because I have a PO box because
Okay.
stuff gets stolen in New York if you live in an apartment building. But I think it's really more like 80 if you take the
If we looked
annual
at
cost of.
monthly, okay. Okay. That's okay. We can approximate with 80. And then eating out, because it's usually a big one in New York. So you haven't had to do that for a while.
Yeah, I was dating someone who made 5 times what I make or whatever. So I was just like, all right, never paid for vacation, never paid for food.
So we'll have to
So.
budget. We'll have to come up with a number for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because eating out and vacations are expensive.
And I like completely, I mean, I knew it and I was grateful. I never like took it for granted or anything, but like
Yeah.
going out with my friends to like mend my broken heart, I'm like, oh, this is kind of expensive, even though we weren't going crazy, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, this is good. So we'll know what your like fixed costs are pretty easily.
Yeah, because I've been budgeting for like a year for the debt purposes. Oh, that's the thing about debt. So I don't know when
Okay.
you want to get into that, but I was paying like $860 to $1,000 a month on my debt, like by
Okay.
choice. Like, so the only fixed 100% guaranteed thing, actually, even that's deferred because I'm in school, but I've been paying it, is for my student loans. So
Okay.
that payment's like only $115 a month. Ideally, I would want to pay more than that, but
Right.
since I've had credit card debt, that's what I've been focusing on. And I
Okay.
still have credit card debt, but it's in 0% interest until May 2025.
Okay.
Originally, before I was going to go through a breakup, I was planning on, when I got reimbursed for school, which I just did, just paying off all the rest of my debt. But that feels a little, I don't know if that's risky to do now because I wouldn't have very much in savings and then I wouldn't have the additional safety net.
Yeah, let's go through everything and then we'll see what makes the most sense.
Okay, great.
So you're doing 860 to 1000 on the credit cards when you say debt or total debt? Is that inclusive of the 115 for the student loans?
That was inclusive, yeah.
Okay, so
That's what I
total
was
debt.
doing.
Okay. And then any other line items?
Most of my stuff is pre-tax. In theory, I'm supposed to be saving, like I would put savings. I don't know if you would put savings in there, but that's all of the like things that have to happen each month.
So it's approximately, I have down 3,400 rounding up with rent, utilities, phone.
Including debt, that's what I was paying. I don't think I need to pay. Like, if we call a minimum debt payment, what I would have to pay it off before the interest kicks in, my new debt payment would be $537 a month.
Okay.
So I was thinking it'd be closer to like 2,900.
Okay. Yeah. If you paid less on the debt, got it.
That's like bare minimum has to happen. And then
have to do minimum. Okay.
But if we want to figure a budget with 800 for debt, that's what I've been doing. So I can keep doing that until it's gone. It would just be gone faster.
Okay. So between 2,900 and 3,400, depending on how hard we're going on the debt. And then what are you bringing home? Like, what are you bringing home monthly in your paycheck?
So after benefits and taxes, 4,280 a month.
4,280 a month. Okay. So we do have some wiggle room, not a ton, but a little bit. But in New York, it's not that much wiggle room.
Right. But it is more wiggle room than I've had for a while. So I'm like,
it's good to have some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we did the 3,400 number, I'll just use 4,200. Because I'm assuming, do you have a MetroCard?
Since I work from home, again, my boyfriend used to pay for my Ubers, you know. Okay. But I work from home and I don't.
You don't need it?
I don't need it. I sometimes I'll do it pre-tax and like do it for a little bit. And then I have to pause it because I'll get too much in my thing and I'm never going anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say, when I'm in school, I probably spend $11 a week. So $46 a month.
For transportation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not going to break our bank.
Right. That's why I didn't know that number, because it's not.
Yeah, it's not massive. Okay. So you're bringing in, we'll just say $4,200 a month after taxes and benefits. And then our minimum budget is $2,900. Okay, so then let's talk about where you are with savings and let's break down your debt as well.
So in savings right now, I have $6,842 in a high yield saving. So 6,000, almost 7,000.
Almost 7,000. Okay, perfect. And then are you in a 401k at work or anything like that?
Yeah, so I have two 401ks, one for my old job, which is I moved to a Vanguard or whatever, because I don't know, someone said you're supposed to. So I have $35,533 in my old 401k.
Perfect. That's great.
Oh, thanks. Because I feel like it's not good. I feel like all the girls that come on your show are like, I have $475,000 in a 401k. And I'm like really scared I won't be able to retire. I'm like, guys, you're killing it. That's actually why I like wrote into the show. I was like, this is insane. This is like the 13th person that has so much money in their 30s. And I'm like, they need a hot mess representative on the podcast. So
we have some women who are doing very well, but we also have some people come on who have a lot of student loan debt, or
those are my favorite episodes. So that's why I was like, I feel like there hasn't been one for a while. Maybe I'm not remembering, but I was like, I can fix the balance.
Yes. Thank you. Because we want to have everyone represented. And remember, I am a big believer that everyone's life path is different. And I think I've said this on the show before, I am a big believer that money comes and goes, right? Like I am prudent and conservative and believe in saving for retirement. You hear people say like they had money and then they didn't, for whatever, a life event, like a huge illness or an over-concentrated stock position that went zero, or a divorce. Cause you know, that I think a big thing on TikTok now, like not protecting your assets if you're stay at home a parent, and then I don't think anyone ever says, I want to have a divorce, right? Like that's not, but it can happen, right? And then you could start over, or we had a woman who, I don't know, this is really early on, I think they were married. He was a closet alcoholic.
And yes, racked I remember up that episode.
Tons of medical bills.
Secret, like all the secret. Oh my gosh, that was awful.
Yeah, and then almost crashed the car while they were driving. I don't know if that part got aired. Like almost.
I don't remember that, but actually that happened to somebody I know too. It's like, yeah.
And so like she was doing great, but like, how would you know? Like, I think it's not a good idea to compare yourself to other people because everyone's life path is different. And just because someone's in a great position today is not guaranteed they're going to be in the same position forever. I mean, you don't wish anything bad on anyone, but.
No, definitely.
But money, I like to think of money like it comes and goes, and not to get too attached to it. Although as a CFP, my life's work is to make sure people are prepared for retirement, you know, and can do it comfortably. But yes, thank you for coming on so we can see a better extreme. It seems like it comes in bulk, at least when I read the submissions. We get like a bunch of people who are like pretty okay. And then we'll get a bunch of people who are in a different spot.
Situation. Oh, different I can't situation. Wait for the wave of the wave of people just getting started. I'll start a trend.
Yeah, you can start a trend for us. Okay, so your second 401k,
So that one, is with my current company and it's not fully vested. So should I just give you the amount that is fully vested?
Yeah, well, how many years do you have to stay to be vested? Like, does that align with grad school?
In March of next year, it'll be fully vested. So,
Okay, so let's just stay till it's fully vested, because why give up
okay.
money? Okay.
Yeah, so fully vested in March, I'll have 20, well, I'll have more than that because I will have been putting in. But right now, if it was fully vested, I would be 25,476 in that one.
That's great.
Yeah, well, this one I contributed more from the beginning. Well, I was making 37,000 at the old job, so that's why
Yes.
it didn't get really bulked up.
How much are you putting in?
So each month I put in $548, or it's 8%.
Okay.
And they put in, I think it comes out to 5.5%, but I think they do, so I think it's
Oh.
like 376 that they put in per month.
So you have good benefits.
Yeah, and the health insurance is good too. I pay for it, but like plus the tuition stuff. So that's
Yeah, these are.
actually paying attention to that is why I'm like, maybe I don't need to aggressively, 'cause like I think salary wise I'm underpaid for the area, right? But
Yeah, but yeah, for the location. But if you could move wherever you wanted to and we move somewhere that was like a lower cost of living, although 1600 in rent is
that's what I'm
really.
saying. That's the only issue. Like if I were to move, it would not be like you're saying money comes and goes. If I were to move, I don't think it would be a better financial, at least not
I don't
initially. It would not be
know.
better financially, but
Well, I just know. So I'm recording right now in Kingston, New York, in upstate. As you know, not that far, but for our listeners, it's like 2 hours north of the city with, average drive time. And apartments up here, like maybe not a one bedroom, but like go for like 2,000 a month.
yeah,
They're expensive. And then you're not in the city.
that's right. So, I mean, I'm in a really good situation that actually started from a what would arguably be a poor financial decision is I broke a lease in New York because my upstairs neighbors were so loud and they were never going to change. And I was like,
Right.
so December 2019, I moved out of a place where I was paying 900 in rent to live by myself in a studio. And it just so happened that the studio is rent stabilized. It wasn't listed as rent stabilized.
Oh.
So then I was paying like 1450, which at the time when I was making 60K, that was like a
A
big
lot.
risky financial move, especially since I had to pay rent, double rent for a while. But then that was December 2019. March 2020, I mean, I was like, okay, even though this happened, like if I had been living under the loud people during 2020 and I couldn't even leave my apartment
That would have been
mentally, all this
terrible.
stuff. And then the rent got crazy and I was locked into this lower
Right.
price. So
Yeah.
really that ended up being, even though at the time I was like, whoa, what are you doing? That ended up being good for me financially. So you never know, but like
With your expenses, with where your income is, I think the rent is key, because I think I talk about this a lot, but with the housing cost, I really like having a low overhead for housing, because that's where usually where people spend a lot, So I think you're doing good for the savings. So just with your 401(k)s, you have 61,000 saved. There's people who have nothing saved. So I think you're in a good spot. It can always be better, but it can also always be a lot worse. So you're on your way to your third degree, right? Because you already had a master's.
Yeah,
Okay.
third degree.
So let's go through your debt. But I think the company with what you're making and with the benefits, like with the match, it's really good. And then paying for grad school. And then maybe what you do is when you finish, I don't know if you get incremental annual raises, but maybe you casually look for
Not really. I mean,
something.
we do, but it's not good.
Okay. So you could casually look for something. I don't know if I would be aggressive about leaving with the benefits, and then paying for school, although I know school's not that much. But why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about what you have for debt and then go from there?
So for debt, I have currently $4,817 on a credit card that has 0% interest until next May.
Okay.
And then I think I have roughly 13,000 in student loans. That is at 5.4% interest. I consolidated them, but so now it's at 5.4% interest, and the payment's only 115 a month. But I
Okay.
was going to up that once I was done with my regular debt.
That's all your student loans?
Yeah, I went to two public schools, So
I was like really waiting for you to drop a ball on me and be like, I have $150,000. Yeah, I'm just waiting here. Because you keep being like, I'm going to be the bad one here on your show. I'm going to be the person not doing well. I hate to break it to you, but that's not a lot of student loan debt.
Yeah. Well, my debt, that's funny. Because I'm just thinking about it as income. But I guess when you think about it as net worth,
Do you know how many people come on and are negative net worth? I might have to send you some episodes.
I know. I guess I was just thinking about his income, how I'm doing worse. But yeah, no, I'm really fortunate. I went to two public schools and I'm in my 30s. So like tuition was so much cheaper then. I feel like it's doubled now. But yeah. And then I got my master's paid for, but I took out loans anyway just to live because it wasn't super. I was making my stipend was like $800 for 9 months of the year. So I had to take out loans to live. But yeah, it's really low. I wasn't paying it off. Like during the pandemic, a lot of people got to save money, but I had just moved into an apartment. Where I live in the city is not convenient to like cheap stores and stuff. So I would like buy in bulk and stuff. So I really was some of my friends paid off their loans during COVID because it was paused and they were like, I'm going to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
But I was too busy like panic buying and all this other stuff, which I really wish I had paid attention during COVID because I really could have done something. But yeah. And then they were talking about canceling them. So I just didn't do anything with them really. And then when it became apparent they weren't going to cancel them,
yeah,
I just consolidated it. My payment has only ever been like $230. It's never been like really impinging on my life, but I just started panicking about having a guaranteed payment or something. So I consolidated. I don't know if that was the right call.
And it's 5.4% interest. I think that's fine. It's a reason. I mean, it's a good interest rate. So
that's the debt.
So it's not nearly as bad as
I guess. I didn't even think about you expecting a big student loan thing. Yeah, public school is the
best.
Yeah,
and you were like, I'm getting another degree. I already did undergrad and have a master's. I was really expecting six figures.
Yeah, no, really, really. Shout out to North Carolina public schools. and right now I'm in public school in New York, and it's different, but it's still, I mean, I still feel like I'm getting a good education, which is nice.
Yeah. And you don't need to go broke to get one, in my opinion.
I don't think so either. And that's like, my parents are academics, which is one reason I thought I didn't care about money until I was like 30. And but also like, that's one thing that they helped prepare me for. Cause I wanted to go to Duke, you know, I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Duke. And then my parents were like, it's $40,000 a year. And I was like, yeah, but what's money? Like I really, truly I'm so glad that they said something. Because
I'm glad they said something too. Cause there's plenty of parents that don't say anything and they let
people who don't know. I mean, that's like, my parents are not like money savants or anything, but they do know school. So that's like where I really feel really fortunate that they were like, absolutely do not.
Yeah.
Because I was like, but I think my school is $4,000 a year or something, maybe, you know, maybe even less than that then, which is insane. And I, in my mind, what's 40? It's only 10 times 4,000. Like I had no concept. And then I got a degree in English. So it's like just zero reality. I thought I wanted to be a teacher, but like I wasn't thinking about average teacher salaries. So thankfully my parents were like, and they also stopped me from getting a master's. Like I got into a master's program right out of college, but they weren't going to pay me to go. And my parents were like, don't take that. And I was like, yeah, but like, it'll be worth it in the long run. And my parents were like, no, like you don't want to be in this program. Wait a year and reapply, which is what I did. And then I didn't, you know, so then I didn't have to pay tuition.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out.
I agree with your parents because I think some people think an education immediately equates to a high-paying job, and it can, depending on the degree and the institution you go to, right? But just because you got a degree does not mean you are guaranteed a job at the level you need to maybe pay off that degree. And as you said, like an English degree from Duke would have cost you $120,000, right?
Yeah, it was $40,000 a year at the time. Now it's like $80,000 a year. Oh, yeah,
so $40,000 a year, it was a 4-year program. So $160,000. Mm-hmm. You would have taken $160,000. You would still probably have $160,000 of debt, to be honest.
It would be crippling. I have no idea what I would do. I have no idea.
And you still have the same education in theory. You don't have the name on
the degree. I went to a really good school for undergrad.
Yeah, I think that sometimes, unfortunately, that is, you know, at 18 or 17, when some kids are making it at 17 or 18, maybe some people are older making the decision at 19, you wouldn't go into a bank and get a mortgage for $160,000. They wouldn't give it to you, right? They would be like, you need an adult here to sign.
And exactly. Yet
for college, they like let you sign up for a lifetime of crippling debt, which I don't understand. So I'm glad that your parents, who are academics and understand that you could still get a great education and have a great career, and you didn't need to spend $160,000 to do it. I'm super smart and very lucky. I was lucky that I had parents that advised me.
Yeah, I feel super thankful because I was probably almost 30 before I realized like the impact of that.
It changed your life, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I'm really, really grateful because like, you know, the comparison game, like you were saying, like a lot of my friends' parents just paid for their college outright. So sometimes I get like in my feelings about that. But like, honestly, like this was great and I feel very fortunate.
Yeah, you got an education. Some people don't get an education. Like my parents helped me with college, but they helped me with college because I went to the college where I got the most money. That was the
choice. Right.
If you go here, we're going to help you.
That's the rules. Yep. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules. And so I was lucky. I got a private education. I went to, you know, a good school, but you know, as an 18-year-old, I was like, oh, I want to go to school with a football team. And my dad was like, well, you got no money there. And I was like,
That's so funny. I literally had opposite. Like, I don't care about sports at all. My school is pretty sports heavy. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, I want to be in a city. And my dad's like, okay, well, let's walk, let's talk through how many tables you have to wait to pay tuition.
Nice, nice.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's really, really key.
And then, you know, you say, because everyone at school, you know, people are like, oh, well, you get out, you'll just make money. My dad's like, there's no guarantee you get a job. So let's just assume you're going to be a waitress after college.
Nice. Like, I mean, oh. I'm brutal at 18, but like.
True. I didn't get a job right out of college. I continued to wait tables after college until mm-hmm. I got a job. And like, I was lucky and then did get a job. But as I started in the city at my salary without bonus was $42,000 in finance.
Yeah.
And so like, I actually took a pay cut from waitressing to take the job in finance.
Yeah.
Ironically. So if I had gone to a school that I couldn't have afforded, but signed up for loans, if my parents had been like, yeah, sure. If that's what you want, go for it. I would have never been able to afford to take the job in the city, like in Manhattan at $42,000, because I would have been taking a pay cut from waiting tables upstate.
Mm-hmm.
So then like your life trajectory maybe changes, right? Because financially, I don't know that I could have afforded to take the job because my student loan debt would have been so much.
Exactly. And that's same thing. Yeah, it's crazy. Thankful for that decision back in 08 or whatever it was.
But. Yeah. And I think, you know, everyone's born into different circumstances, right? That's just life. Life isn't fair. And so there are plenty of people that are lucky enough that parents pay for all of college. It doesn't matter, you know, they'll pay for it wherever you want to go. I think that you get some more life learning lessons earlier, I think, by making these decisions, right? So like you're obviously very conscious of money and you've made really good decisions. But I think part of that was you learned it earlier because it wasn't just mm-hmm. a free ride. You had to sit down with your parents and were explained how this works, right? Like mm-hmm. here's how money works. This is the cost of something. Here's the value. We're telling you as an academic, we don't think the value is there for that cost. Why don't we look over here? Mm-hmm. So you learn something at a very young age that if it was just, we would just write checks, go wherever you want, you might not have learned that lesson.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Really, really grateful and surprised at how long the staying power of that decision is. And it's also scary that that's even allowed for 18-year-olds to be able to make decisions of that way.
I completely agree. I don't think that should be allowed. Okay, so I'm like very relieved. I was really expecting. I mean, I see everything. So not everyone comes on our show. So I do this also for a living. So sometimes, sometimes I see numbers that are like, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Okay, so this is very manageable. So your student loan is a fixed 5.4%. I think with the credit card, even though it's zero, it's up to you. You could make the lower payments and be done, as you said, by, I think you said it was May
2025.
If you're busy and in school and you feel like you're not spending the money, I think I would go at it a little harder and be done a little earlier. If we leave the $1,000, the debt payment a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
That brings us up to $3,400. So that leaves you with $800 left over. And so not every month mm-hmm. will be perfect. They'll have months that are more expensive and stuff. But with $1,000 a month towards your student loan debt, you would be done in 17 months, like a year and a half.
Right.
That's not bad. And you'd be debt-free.
Right.
And still while saving for retirement.
That's why I never stopped saving for retirement, even when I was doing the debt, just like because the match, you know?
Yeah. Because you're doing $924 a month into retirement. So I kind of think like the $800 to $1,000 a month towards the debt makes sense. And then you could always bump up your retirement a little bit and then give yourself more money in spending.
Okay, cool. Again, I was just going to kill that last credit card debt, but you say instead of doing the like $437 to make it write out the whole interest, just meet in the middle and just keep paying $1,000 a month till that's dead.
I would. I mean, 5.4% isn't terrible interest. You could just keep making your payment and it could just like hang out there. But would you feel better if it was completely gone? Like, would it be nice?
I don't care about the student loan debt that much. I just didn't know about the like remaining credit card debt that I have. Would you kill it from my savings or would you just do aggressive?
I would do $1,000. Yeah. I would do $1,000 a month. Yeah. For the next 5 months.
Five months.
be done. If you don't want to continue being so aggressive, I would still probably do $500 a month on the student loan. I would get rid of the student loans faster. Yeah.
Okay.
Now that they're consolidated, they can't be forgiven, right? Because it's private.
It's federal still. Oh, it's just federal. Consolidated them federally.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what, if you think it might get forgiven, here's another way to go about it. Up your savings and then accrue a bunch of savings. And then that way, if it gets forgiven, you don't have to worry about it. You just have more in savings. We're going to leave the $6,800 as your emergency fund. But when you add another $13,000 to that, which you will, even if you're doing $500 a month, in 20 months, you'll save $10,000 at $500 a month. I would save it up in cash and then determine, like, in 2 years' time, like, have they forgiven loan? Is it eligible to be forgiven, or is it still around? And, you know, maybe I'll just decide to pay it off. I have the money now. Pay it off.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I really like that.
And then if you need it, you can take it back because it's in a savings account.
Right. Okay. I really like that.
But I would earmark it as a different savings account. Does that make sense? So, like,
yes,
you can name them. So I would keep your emergency fund at $6,800 because your bare minimum expenses, you have like a little over 2 months, right? You could probably stretch that. So yeah, save it up in cash. You know, if you have anything left over in the month, put it in the cash, and that would be beyond your emergency fund. And I do think then 26 months, like 2 years, you'll have that saved up if you just do $500 a month, and then you can determine what you want to do. Maybe you'll say, you know what, that was pretty easy. I'm going to leave a little more in my emergency funds, and I'll make one lump sum payment of $5,000. I'll do that again in 2 years and then be done.
I like that. Yeah.
But then from a balance sheet standpoint, it's neutral. And you're only paying significantly more interest on the loan than the savings. Because the savings, you should be able to get close to like 4.5.
Yeah, 4.75. I think I have
close. Yeah. Yeah. So from a investment return standpoint, you're not losing much in interest.
Okay. That's great.
So that's what we would do. And then once all that's done, which in 2 years you'll be 35. Let's just say we're like done with debt at 35. Then you could up your 401k.
That's what I was going to ask. When the debt stuff is done. And so you would wait till student loans were paid off to up 401k?
Until you have it in the cash. Yeah. I mean, you could.
Okay.
If you get a raise, if I know you said you don't think they do that, but if they do, I would up it. It depends on how comfortable you want to be.
Well, I just got a raise, but I mean, like, not big, but like big for my company.
Okay.
Because I was like kind of aggressive about it. I just got it in March, and then I was going to up my 401k. Actually, did I already up it to 8%? Maybe I upped it to 8%, but I didn't know if I should up 401k or if I should do a Roth or something with the extra.
Not with your income, not in New York City. I wouldn't.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That's what I needed someone to say that. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I thought.
If you like follow TikTok, it's like, you don't have a Roth? And it's like, well, first of all, not everyone's eligible. So start there. Not everyone's allowed to have a Roth. And second of all, it matters what your tax bracket is. And you are currently paying federal, state, and city. You're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot per month.
So let's take your tax savings where we can get them. We have other things we're doing, paying off credit card debt, paying off student loans, saving for retirement and living. There are ways to get money into Roth. I don't think today is your best choice with where you are tax-wise. I would just do the pre-tax. And if you want to make it really easy, you could just go from 8 to 10. It's not going to be a dramatic change to your budget.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That was something I didn't know. Like, I knew I had a little bit extra from the raise, but I didn't know.
So just bump it 2% and then all of these numbers should still work. Because 2% isn't going to be, over the course of the year, isn't going to be a big deal. So it works out to be a $1,780 over 12 months. So it's another $148, which you really will miss like $70 because of taxes.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good. Cool. Because I set that. That's what I did, is I set it to go up in 2 months just because I was like, I want to have fun with this little extra money for like 2 months. But cool. Then that's right. Cause I didn't know if I should switch, cause I did open a Roth, but there's $300 in there, you know, and I haven't been contributing.
When you are done with, this is my personal opinion, you could keep the student loans forever if you want. I think it'd be nice for you cause it's not that much and you have the flexibility in your budget, and you might not always have the flexibility in your budget.
Exactly.
Like, you might not always have a stabilized apartment. There might be other expenses that come up in your life, but right now, really compared to what I see sometimes, you don't have a lot of line items, right? And you're in school, so you're busy. So to me, this is the time to like get rid of the debt. To be debt-free with all of your education at 35, I think would be incredible. And at that point, you'll probably be closer to $100,000 in savings. That's great. and no debt and a lot of education. So that would be my personal take on it. And then at that point, if your income is comparable or even it goes up by 10,000, then you could do a Roth.
Okay.
Because you're going to be used to spending 12,000 a year, right? $1,000 on debt. That's on gone. Debt,
yeah.
You do half that into a Roth and half could go to a vacation fund.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next thing, which I don't know if we have even time for, but hypothetically, I might want to move to Chicago just because I don't think I'm going to meet a man in New York City. Like,
I agree. I agree.
It was a fluke that I met one, and I do value partnership.
Are they all the worst in New York, or is it just literally my personal opinion?
Literally, everybody thinks their city is the worst to date in. I'm sorry, I don't see how it can't be New York. Like, it is.
Okay, so I will tell you, it's 100% New York because I dated aggressively. Like, I have a spreadsheet. I must have been on dates with hundreds of men in New York City. One, for a while, I was like, it's a numbers game, and I'm just going to play it. So every Thursday, I went on three dates every Thursday, 5, 7, and 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're like hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like. Okay, so I will tell you that, like, no men thought I was hot in New York City. So that's proof of New York City.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm a late bloomer. So I think I started dating like 29 when I was in the city. And I'm also picky. So I would not go out with most people, but still.
You should be.
I went out with at least like 18 people. Like, that's not a lot, if consider your numbers. But I went out with like 18 guys, and like nothing would make it past 3 months until this last boyfriend who was
great. You did better than me. I could never get a second date. My mom was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I have no idea.
It's not you. It's not you. Literally, I don't know why they think I guess the numbers are slightly in their favor, but
they're
even
in their favor. And then there's like a fresh crop of like 22-year-olds
working
Goldman and model on the side. And
it's exactly.
Like, and they wear stilettos to the date. I was like, how? How? No, I'm not wearing stilettos over Subway grates. Great idea.
Exactly.
If you like it so much, you try it. But I'm not wearing stilettos on Subway grates. It's insane.
It's insane. And then even if you meet a great guy, like the guy I just broke up with is great. I think he thinks he's young and he's 38. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
Not young.
One time I like upped my age, like this was when I was 29 or 30. I upped my age to 42 thinking like, okay, I like older men and they will be more serious. No, they were worse. So that's why I went to move from New York, even though I love New York and I would stay there forever. But since I value partnership, I'm like, I think maybe I need to try the Midwest. So if I move to Chicago, my mom informed me that she did not think that was a good financial decision. I was like, yeah, me neither. But I think it might be a good life decision.
I mean, I can't say you're wrong because I left New York because I was dating there and I thought it was the most horrible thing. And I worked on Wall Street, right? Like, supposedly that's hard.
You were surrounded by men.
Oh, surrounded. Yeah. Supposedly getting a job at an investment bank on a trading floor is hard. I don't even think it like compares at all to dating in New York City. I've never done anything harder. But I moved to Salt Lake City and I thought it was like shooting fish in a barrel. I could not get over how easy it was to get a date. And like, they responded and they showed up and no one just disappeared or ghosted. You know how many people ghost? Like, you make plans for a date and then they ghost you on the day of the date. Like, you're like, was I supposed to show up because you didn't confirm? And I'm confused because you asked me out. I didn't ask you out. So
yeah,
we just,
no.
You got hit by a bus or something this morning? Like, where did you go?
I know. The number of people I was like, are you secretly dead?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been ghosted after 3 months. I've been ghosted after, you know, it's a nightmare.
You can't make it up.
It's insane. I mean, literally, I thought he was dead, but we were still connected on Tinder. So I could see like
his activity.
He was about to go on this like trip to Asia, right? And so he was supposed to go to Singapore. We were still matched on Tinder. I had not been on Tinder because I was like thinking we were
dating
thing. So then he texted me 7:30 on a Friday. I was like, can't wait to see you tomorrow. But we didn't have concrete plans. So I was like, hey, like, you know, me too. But like, what time were you thinking? So I can like plan around it. I like would feel better if I knew exactly what time. And he never responded again. And he was like leaving for a trip to Asia for 2 days after that. And so I was like, did he die? Because like he was seemed very into me. So then I looked on Tinder and it was like 4,200 miles away. And I was like, I looked up the distance between Singapore, or whatever. And I was like, okay, I guess he's not dead.
It.
He just ghosted me, not our earthly plane. So sadly, he came back 2 years later and I still went out with him. And then I think he was married, but that is New York dating. So that's why I want to move to Chicago and just try that out. So the initial move to Chicago, I would be able to stay with a friend and pay like $400 in rent.
I'm going to throw something out there that you might not like. I'm just going to throw it out there. Okay. What if you hung in through the end of the year? Can we get one third of grad school done? And you can...
That's when my lease ends, is December.
Oh, okay. So. Perfect. So could you keep your budget the same in Chicago? I fully support moving to Chicago to date. I'm sure it's going to be so easy for you. If you can survive dating in New York, this is going to be, I mean, you're going to be like, this is crazy. You'll be ghosting people. Could you look to, and would you be open, do you, if you have friends in Chicago, like maybe rooming with somebody, like to keep your budget the same?
That was my plan. So like when I first moved, my friend, I can crash with her and I think she'd pay me, let me stay for lower than market rate, $400 a month in rent from like January to March or April, when I would be like expected to like find my own place. And I was going to shoot for roommates. So I think I can, like if I was living alone, I could find a place for the same price. It's just that the next year, like there wouldn't be rent protection. So the next year they can hit me with a, by the way, it's $2,200 now.
Now that we've got you in here with all your stuff and moving is $5,000. Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah.
So that's the thing. I think I would get rid of most of my stuff. So I wouldn't be like a huge U-Haul. So, I mean, it might be a U-Haul, but it wouldn't be like movers. So I think that the moving cost I think would be fine. And then I would be able to recoup like a lot of money while I was staying with her. And then in theory, I would try to find a roommate.
I think if you could keep your budget around the same, which I would hope in Chicago with a roommate, you could get a nice apartment if you're each paying $1,600. I don't know.
That's my impression. I mean, she's from Chicago. I met her in New York, but she moved back during the pandemic.
Okay.
I know where she used to live. She lived alone for $1,200 or $1,400, and it wasn't like an ideal. It was like a suburb type thing, but like she was close to the train. I could theoretically live alone for the same price, but I think I would shoot maybe for a more date friendly neighborhood with roommates. And I would hope that I could keep it.
When you get rid of your debt, if you can keep the budget the same, you'll be rid of debt in like 2 years. So ideally you just live with someone for 2 years. And then at that point you have more flexibility with your budget. So I would just shoot to keep your expenses the same.
Okay. But and you don't think it's a, I'm glad that you agree that it's definitely not a terrible life decision.
No, I don't think it's a terrible idea. No.
Okay.
I bet you'll come back on the show and you'll be engaged.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Everyone thought I was crazy, but except for one of my best friends, she always called it Vacation Barbara because I would meet guys on vacation. And then I was like, I just don't understand why I can't meet anybody at New York. She's like, maybe you're just like more fun on vacation. I was like, no, not.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. No, it's New York. The issue is the location.
Yeah, so that's what I decided. So I was like, you know what? If you keep getting the same
that's
outcome,
what I told my mom.
Right? Yeah, then you have to try something different. I want a different outcome. I was so tired. And then I think one day I called my mom and I was like, I'm walking to another date with a stranger at a bar. If I turned up murdered, it's your fault. And she was like, you won't be murdered. I was like, we don't know that. We don't know.
We really don't know that. The number of situations I accidentally, and I'm like more cautious than most people. I'm like, the number of situations I got into, I was like, and then men on the dates are always like, what's your worst date story? I'm like, it's like assault. It's not like, you know what I mean?
You don't want to hear it.
It's not funny.
Yeah, not funny.
It's not a funny story. That's not small talk. Before I met my boyfriend, I was like, I'm definitely going to leave New York because I'll never meet someone. And then he seemed like it was going to go all the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was so wrong. Like, I'm so lucky because, you know, which I mean, it was good. I don't regret it. But yeah, I was thinking I was wanted to move to Denver for the man potential. But then I went on a work trip to Denver and I was like, I absolutely don't want to move to Denver. So that was good.
I think you'll find it refreshing. And if you feel like you've had your run in New York, what I will say, and I was worried about this, I kept my apartment in New York and bought a house in Utah and had my place upstairs. It was like a little bit not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I rented out my apartment because I make good financial decisions. I try to take my own advice. I rented out my apartment because it was really affordable apartment. I had a great apartment for $2,000, which was a true one bedroom in a great location by Trader Joe's. So that was like unusual rent.
Nice, nice.
Like washer, dryer, windows that you could see the sky, unusual.
What neighborhood was it?
Kips Bay.
Kips Bay, I knew it. That's where my boyfriend lives. And so I used to go to Trader Joe's every Sunday. And now I'm like,
it's a great neighborhood. I thought.
It is people. I was a hater because
everyone is a hater. You know, yeah, everyone's a hater.
Yeah, so I thought that's where I was going to be living. And he has a rent-stabilized apartment there. Obviously, it's more than my take-home, but, yes. You know. but... But yeah, so I love that neighborhood. And yeah, 2000 is insane.
2000 is insane. Washer, dryer, got renovated. Beautiful. Was a walk up, but that didn't bother me. Well, I got rid of my gym membership because you don't need a gym membership.
No.
With that.
Because it's working everything.
It's working everything, including suitcases. So I kept it. I subletted it to my mentee, and I had couch rights for like a couple hundred bucks a month and kept some stuff in the closet. So she was a doll to let me do that. But I think that once you leave New York, you probably won't want to go back, which would be fine because it would be impossible to get that rent again.
That's why I'm scared to leave, because I do love New York. So, but like, I'm doing like a trial run in August to like go to Chicago for 3 weeks.
That's
and
a good
date
idea.
And like pretend I live there already. Yes. And yes. Then see, like, I visited in November. I was like, this is so weird because I feel like I'm supposed to live here. But I know that I'm like, I've never been more situated in New York because I have a man and I have school now.
Permit. Yeah. And school. Yeah.
So I felt very good, but then I was like, is this just the vacation feeling? Like I'm having a fun time. So I want to go there and like actually try to date and try to pretend that I'm working from there. And then based on that, I'll be like, okay, I guess I can give up my lease. I'm going to try to give it to someone I know and be like, hey, first right of refusal if you decide to leave.
Yeah, you can totally do that. That's what I basically did with my apartment. My mentee took it.
I'm just scared since I know I won't be able to live in New York again by myself with if I leave. But
then what you do is you live in Chicago, you keep your cost of living the same or lower. Maybe you get a place and you each pay $1,400, right? And then in 2 years' time, you have no debt. Maybe by then you get another raise. Then maybe you could, right?
Right, right.
But I agree with you. If you were like me, I would try and get a friend to take that rent-stabilized apartment and be like, if you're going to give it up, call me so I can tell you.
Yeah, that's all I want. I want like the false hope, even if it's false, because I mean, I don't want to leave my rent-stable.
Most likely you won't go back, I will tell you. Once you leave New York, I think.
Right, right.
It's really hard to go back, I think.
Yeah. I didn't even plan to be. I mean, I've been there 7 years now. I plan to be there. I told my parents like, oh, I just want to live there for 2 years, but it's been great. It's been fun. I have no issues with New York except for I want to be married. So
I think you'll have luck. I really want to have you back on next year and see how it's going in Chicago.
Yeah. I hope I have. Oh my gosh. What if it's a downward spiral? And you're like,
it will not. It will not be a downward spiral. I can promise you. I think moving to a new city is good. I actually never thought I would. I said I was going to live in New York forever. My dad from the city, so it wasn't like,
oh yeah, so you have, yeah,
yeah, so he grew up in the city and he was like, okay, we'll see, because he moved out at like 35 or something and he grew up there. Mm-hmm. I think 35. And I was there for 14 years, 12 full-time, and then I kept the apartment like another two.
It's fun. I mean, yeah, and when I moved, it was obviously not a good financial decision to move either, but it worked out. Actually, when I first moved to the city, my rent was lower because I was living alone in North Carolina. And when I first moved to the city, my rent was $660.
Oh my gosh.
I had two roommates and one of them basically lived with her boyfriend. So I was,
you got lucky.
Got ready alone every morning. It was heaven. But then that girl joined the Peace Corps and I was like, let's not get another roommate because we are not going to strike gold twice. So then my rent was $900. But I had to move.
Yeah, because when you go back, you probably want to have the number of roommates that you normally need to have to make it in New York. But that's motivation to get the loans done, to have more budget bandwidth, right? So I think you can definitely keep your budget the same. If not, even if you saved $100 a month compared to New York,
right,
that'll be worthwhile. That can go in your 401k. Your income will stay the same, which is a dream. They'll continue to pay for your school. And I would say if you wanted to go back to New York, then the way to make it work would be, I think you could ask for a raise after you get the degree. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just one reason why I'm doing it is if I stay, maybe I can move into a higher level position or in a different area because I'll be like, oh, I have this
degree now,
business knowledge, or it'll be easier to leave. Basically the reason I got it, I'm trying to get an MBA, but, I am getting an MBA, but the reason I got it is because my dream job, I was like, I should be perfectly qualified for this. And they still wanted an MBA. And I was like, well, anybody could get an MBA. I just don't have one. And I was like,
you're like,
I
could do that.
And then I was like, I guess I should get one. If that's my excuse, but like, it wouldn't be that hard. I should just do it then. So
yeah, I think that's perfect. You could go back to New York, but yes, try and find a girlfriend to take or a friend to take over that rent stabilized apartment and then go to Chicago and date. I would 100% recommend.
Oh my gosh. I totally thought you were going to say you need to hold on to that apartment until you make them take it from your dead hands.
I'm all about saving money and making good financial decisions But I agree that I think you can keep, if you said, I'm going to go to Chicago and it's going to be double and I'm going to go into debt to be able to date there, I'd be like, well, it's like not going to be a great situation if dating doesn't work out. Now you've taken on all this debt so you can be there. But I really think you can be there for the same amount, if not maybe save $100 a month.
Slightly like, lower. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't see any reason not to. And yes, if you want to go back to New York, will it be a little trickier? It could. It might not. Maybe after you get your MBA, they bump you to 110. Now you have no debt. Then you would be more than comfortable in New York.
Right. Right. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Did I answer all your questions?
Yeah. Basically, I'm so sad because it's like all hypothetical because I'm at this like weird crossroads.
I mean, Chicago feels pretty like.
I mean, I am definitely going in August for the trial run. That's because that's like right now, basically. But yeah. It's so weird. So, yeah,
I think it's a great idea. I think if you've dated in New York, it's one of the hardest things you can do. And I don't care. I would fight anybody on this. I don't have very strong opinions on many things. And I have a very strong opinion that dating in New York City is the worst thing you could do, or the worst experience. Mm-hmm. Really.
It's so bad. And then people were saying that it's worse now because I was with my boyfriend since late October, like 2021. And everyone's like, if you met your partner in late 2021, early 2022, you got the last train out of hell. And I'm like, oh no. Because it was bad when I was dating. So yeah.
Oh my God, that's horrible. I had some of the worst dates. I had one guy, I also paid for like a dating service. I don't know if you ever went to that extreme. My mother's like, hire a matchmaker. And I was like,
I was going to like sign myself up for free. You can't tell, but I'm not thin, which like doesn't really affect, like once I meet people, they don't care. But like, I think it affects like swiping behavior.
Okay.
So I never know, but I was going to like send my stuff to a matchmaker on the free side, but I don't expect a lot of hits, but I can't pay. I would not pay for it. But.
I paid for it. Yeah. And I also hired a dating coach and was told I had too masculine of energy. I'm like too aggressive.
Does that just mean you're successful?
Yeah. I was just like, well, so let me get this straight. I need to pretend to not be who I am to get a
date? That's the worst advice, because then you're just doomed for a breakup.
Yeah, so then all of a sudden, at what point do I say, hey, I'm actually pretty aggressive. I really like to work. I have a lot of goals. I like everything to be planned. I use Excel spreadsheets for vacation. When do I disclose that information? Like, my friends love it. I mean, and I have a lot of girlfriends who are very similar to me. It took a long time to find them. Yeah, they were like, you know, for men, you need to come off like, I guess more submissive or something. I was like, well, that was a waste of money, I thought.
Right. Right. When I'm on a date and I'm not talking, it's because I don't feel safe and I'm not interested in you. And those men always like me because I'm quiet. And I'm like, well, I mean, this isn't me. Like, no, I went out with some losers, but yeah, also like people who like Venmo request you after the date if you didn't want to go on a second one.
I don't know if I had to have it. I think my worst was the one I paid for with a matchmaker, and it was so hard to coordinate because this is terrible. He didn't want to get off the block. He walked from the office to his gym, and so we met at a coffee shop that was on his walk.
In between?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I paid to be there, which I was like so irritated when I figured this out because I didn't know that. The matchmaker was going back and forth about location and timing, and it was like, oh, thank you so much for being so amenable to switching it. And I was like, I don't know why we have to keep switching it around. It's so easy. You pick a date, you pick a time, and you go, or you don't. Like, so finally, after like multiple messages with the matchmaker, because you don't meet the person, I realized when I saw this asshole walk out of his office building, I was like, oh my God, we're having coffee. Yeah, by his office building. So he walked in. The coffee shop closed at 7. I think he came at 6:40 or something like that. No. And I already had a coffee. He just like watched everybody walking in, and then they finally started. He didn't even get a coffee, and he's like, I got to go to the gym. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, you can go. Like, yes, check, you came. And he was like, well, I'll pay for the coffee. And I was like, oh, you don't. I want to be like, you don't need to pay for the coffee. That was the least of the worst investment I made by being here. I was like, I'm happy to pay for my coffee. So he finally left, and I saw, and then I walked down and I was like, oh, there was like a health club at the end of the block. And I was like, he couldn't even be bothered. And so.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Besides, that was one of the terrible dates of the matchmaker. It was like pretty big name. I can't say anything. I told them if they did not get me a refund, it was going to be my personal vendetta against them to tell every single female in New York what a ripoff they were. So they refunded me.
You could do better vetting yourself.
They put me on a date with someone I blocked on Tinder.
No, that's awful.
Yes. He walked in and I was like, can I sink under the table? Because I knew I had blocked him because he had been harassing me. And
he couldn't imagine his luck, I'm sure, when you came through. He was like, oh my God, that's the girl.
He sat down and was like, so your phone doesn't work? And I was like, oh my God. Mm. I was like, I don't think we know each other. He was like, we know each other. You have been ignoring me. And I was like, I just was like, it's not me. He was like, oh, it's another barber with red hair. It's like, mm-hmm, yep, must be. It's the city.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's play terrible. It off. Deny. You have to like lie so much to keep yourself safe. No, that is insane. And I used to like bend over backwards for dates. If they suggested a place close to their work, I live in Washington Heights. So that
trip.
Is not
yeah.
close.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
not
if
close
I had already told someone I live in Washington Heights and they're like, cool, can you meet me in Kips Bay? Like, I'm like, that's an hour on the train and it's 3 transfers or whatever. You know, that's a detail about them. That's a detail about how much you're willing to go out of your way. So that matchmaker,
Yeah, I know the matchmaker. So anyway, I got my money back. I like decided I'm normally not like that, but I was so, it was such an uncomfortable situation with the, it was such a terror. They were like, oh, I was like, and this is why you should show people photos. So you can know if this person has previously harassed
yeah.
the person.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause you're not going to remember all the people you blocked on Tinder.
No. So yeah, I think Chicago, if nothing else, it'll be like a refresh. So I think you'll just have like, it's a new start, fresh start with dating. You won't have like all of these bad memories or, you know, cause like you walk by like restaurants or places you've been and be like, I went out with that jerk there. So mm-hmm. I think it'll be really good. And I don't think it's a bad financial decision because you're keeping your job, you're keeping your grad school payments, you're keeping your 401k. And I really do think you can keep the same budget. It's not a bad financial decision.
Awesome. This is great.
Yeah. All right. Well, for all of our lovely listeners, please follow along. We have a new little call out today. Follow along at YouTube or TikTok. And then if you like the show, please subscribe and follow. And as always, we would super appreciate it if you can share it with a friend. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.